Welcome to the Live Treasured podcast. Today's podcast episode was taken from one of our She Is Treasured Bible studies called Godly Girl Power. To learn more about the Godly Girl Power study or all other She Is Treasured Bible studies, you can go to our website at www.treasuredministries.com/devotions. Now let's get into today's episode. Enjoy. I want to talk to you today about a common trait of codependency, and that is a checklist. Are you confined by a checklist? And what I mean by that is, do you believe that you have to do certain things so that God will love you? I mean, are you strapped to self-righteousness? Well, you might say no, but let me ask you a question. If you don't have your quiet time in the morning, do you feel guilt during the day? Or better yet, do you struggle with feelings of shame and guilt? Well, that's really typical of codependency. You see, oftentimes our codependency creates a checklist in our life, which breeds condemnation, keeping us from living out our callings, and most importantly, in the freedom of grace. Self-righteousness is another way that you and I have a lack of God dependency. And oftentimes, inside of our codependency, we sought to strive to be the good girl. That's how we would cover the shame in our life. And whatever situation we found ourselves in, we tried to live up to those standards. And so perhaps it is at work. We try to be number one at everything. Or maybe it is that inside of your church, you're following certain religious rules and laws. And you bring those expectations into your relationship with God. And when you live that way, you often feel like, if I don't keep all the rules, God's going to reject me, right? Like, if I don't have my quiet time, then I need to feel guilty all day, right? Or if I'm not good enough, God won't love me. And we begin to shoulder this shame and guilt. And see, here's the problem with that. God, in His grace to us, gave us through the new covenant a new way to live. And that is by grace, letting go of our efforts to reach out to the Almighty and live under His power. The same grace that saved you is also the grace that will sanctify you. But while you're living strapped to self-righteousness, you will never, ever find this freedom. And I want to ask you a question. Is there something in your life, inside of your past, and maybe it's a divorce, or perhaps it's an abortion, or maybe it is that that you have recently, you know, made a mistake in your life, or you just, there's some area in your life that's in your past, and you are a Christian, but the enemy keeps calling you under condemnation because this relationship didn't work out, or this situation didn't work out, or isn't in the day-to-day. Like my example of not having your quiet time and then feeling guilty and condemned. Well, remember, our definition of codependency is a lack of God dependency. And God wants us to depend on His grace. The moment we begin to believe that it's about our efforts or what we do rather than what Christ has done, we fall under condemnation and we walk outside of our callings. In fact, a lot of us hide and pretend. Well, today I want to invite you to lift that shame off of your shoulders. Shame is a very heavy thing to wear, isn't it? Inside of our nourish scripture, we see two very clear aspects of the nature of God. And one of those is His awesome love, and the other is light or holiness. It starts out with love, Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself for us as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So God is love, but also God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. And as believers, he is calling us to live in the light. It says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. And you know something, when it talks about greed or idolatry, oftentimes I think that it's those things that we are using to cover the shame in our life that become our idols, whether it is achievement or even medicating, numbing ourselves through alcohol or food or whatever it may be. And for the codependent, what is tricky is that a lot of times we used our good behavior, our self-righteousness, to cover up the shame. And whatever situation we found ourselves in, we tried to live up to that law. Now, whether that was the law inside of our workplace or maybe a certain church circle or whatever it may be, like I was talking about initially in the beginning, we are consistently living up to that law. And we bring that into our relationship with God. And oftentimes, that's where the greed can come in. Because we're so afraid to lose the thing, whether it's gaining our worth and value out of material things or whatever it is that we're using to cover our shame, right? That it becomes something that we can't let go of. And when it is good works, that's when it leaves us weary and worn out. So then it goes on to say this. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Now let's just stop right there, because you could read that passage, and if you were talking about holiness or God's wrath without his love and forgiveness through Christ, well, we could get very intimidated and just want to leave this passage altogether. And that's part of the problem, is that we are not living in the light because we're still trying to be good enough to be in the light, right? Okay, so let's read on. It says, don't participate in the things these people do. For once, you were, past tense, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light is within you and produces what is good and right and true. The light is within you, Jesus Christ, and he is calling us out of darkness and into light. And holiness is important, right? Why? Because it produces what is good and right and true in our life. And what's tricky about self-righteousness is that when we use that, any good works to cover up our shame, it will never be enough. And that's why your quiet time is never enough. And that's why no matter how hard you work and achieve, it's never enough. And the moment you and I move from a grace-based system to a works-based system, the enemy can use that to pull things out of our past to bring us back in darkness. You know, a good friend of mine walked through a divorce, and 5 years later, she found herself remarried to a wonderful Christian man. They had a beautiful, godly marriage together, and she seemed very happy on the outside. But what I didn't know is that she was shouldering that shame of her past divorce. Never mind that God was trying to bring her forward. Never mind that he had forgiven her. She still carried it around like a giant D around her neck. Well, one day she called me crying, just sobbing and sobbing. And I was like, what happened? And when she finally caught her breath, she said, Eileen, she was inside of a ministry position, and on the application for ministry, you had to check, are you married? Are you divorced? Are you single? And she said there was such a feeling of condemnation and shame that came over her that she literally felt like she had to get out of there. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, you need to receive God's grace. But do you know that in my own life, when the enemy will pull back at a past relationship maybe that didn't work out or past mistakes that I've made, you know, he does that to me too. And if we're not careful as codependents, we can miss out on living inside of that freedom that God has called us to live. You know, God doesn't want you chained to the regret of your past. He's doing a new thing. He wants you to focus on the light and move forward. And can we not understand that the past mistakes that we made, when we bring them out, when we're completely vulnerable before God, right, and with each other, that it shines a light on Christ and it completely dispels the darkness of the enemy. It says this, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Light shines in the darkness. Light or holiness not only brings what is good and true out of our life, but it also exposes the sin in our life. And that's a good thing, because it is at the point where you and I realize that we cannot live this life but by the grace of God. That it is His grace that saves us, and it is His grace that sanctifies us, and that all of us have that area in our life or that thing in our past that we must receive God's grace for so that we can live as God intended. Because if not, as codependents, we will continue to walk around trying to cover our shame through our good works. And that leaves us in effort-based living with little success, because we're not living by the Holy Spirit and we're trying to cover our shame instead of shining for the Lord. I want to take you to this passage in Isaiah, which is such a beautiful illustration of God's redemption. Isaiah 6, verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were the mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And so there was the holiness of the Lord. And we need to understand that grace doesn't take away, right, the holiness of the Lord. It gives us something greater. Ready? It says, their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, listen to what Isaiah says, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of the heaven's armies. And so Isaiah, as he encounters the glory of the Lord and the light of the Lord and the holiness of God, he realizes his own inadequacies, his own inability, right, to be holy. And so he admits, he's vulnerable before God, and he admits this. And this is what God wants for us. You know, oftentimes in codependency, we're continually bringing God our good works, when what he really wants is our authenticity. Then it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs, and he touched my lips with it, and he said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." You know, for you watching today, what is it in your life that you are ashamed of? What relationship is not perfect? What is it in your past that you keep trying to fix when God wants you to just receive His forgiveness? Listen to these words. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve, He loved them, but God was also holy. And because He loved them with authentic love, He gave them choice. And inside of that choice, right, because love never forces, love never controls, Adam and Eve sinned. But God had a plan of redemption, and His redemption came through Jesus Christ. Now, this didn't happen right away, right? And so because of that, there were the temple and there were sacrifices that were made, but all the while, those sacrifices only provided a temporary placement for what was yet to come. In fact, all of the sacrifices pointed towards God's redemption in Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, you and I, when we are using our self-righteousness or walking under condemnation, the enemy has convinced us to believe that it's our works again that will bring us righteousness. When you and I can receive the forgiveness from Jesus Christ and walk as God intended. Now listen to what happens after Isaiah receives this forgiveness. Verse 8, then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And He said, yes, go and say to this people. And so God sends Isaiah out. And when you and I have this encounter with the holiness of God, what it does for us is several things. It points out our weaknesses. But not if we negate love in that, then that would be very scary, right? It's like God is saying to us, I know that you can't do this on your own. And I'm not asking you to do this on your own. I want you to walk inside of my grace. And when we have a revelation of that, we can let go of the covering that's been causing us condemnation and pick up our callings instead. You know, for years, I used my gifts and my callings to cover shame. It was achievement and it was good works, and that was codependency. And it was only when I was ready to see that this was not a covering for my sin, that it was the grace of Jesus Christ, that I was able to release self-righteousness and walk instead inside of God's grace and His power. And this is a truth that I have to keep reminding myself of every single day, that I rest and I walk not under my righteousness, but under God's righteousness. So it goes on to say this, and I want to say this. So Isaiah recognized that he was a sinner, and then God sent him. And if you're watching this today and your past, there's some relationship, there's something in your past that's holding you captive to it, it's time for you to arise. It's time for you to move out in your calling. It's time for you to let it go. God makes all things new. And that's not just when we're saved, it's in our journey with Him. And if you continue to live under the burden of guilt and shame, you are carrying a weight that God has not called you to carry. It says this, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be very careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Today is the day that you must see what is holding you captive in your past, that's preventing you from living in your freedom in Christ, and let go of your self-righteousness and instead surrender to God's will instead. That's what living life like a Christ follower is all about. And we can even begin that way, right? But along the way, we start to pull back into that law-based living. And that's why in Galatians 5:1, it talks about don't let yourself be yoked again to a burden of slavery. Done. When Christ said it is finished, it is finished. Verse 18 says this, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. And you know something, you may not have a problem with alcoholism, but what is it that you went to in the past to cover your shame? Maybe it was food. Maybe it was work and achievement. Maybe it was relationships, right? Like the woman at the well. And God is saying, I want you to find something better. I have something for you better. So we trade that, and it says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. That is the sound of freedom. Is your Christian walk full of joy? And if it's not, if there is an area of condemnation that the enemy is consistently pointing out where you are not enough, could it be that God is calling you to sing a new song, the song of freedom, and give thanks to everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the other thing that walking inside of God's holiness or being reminded of God's holiness does for us is it builds gratitude for grace. I'll never forget 1 year I spent studying the book of Jeremiah, and it was a book in the Old Testament. And one of the things that surprised me was how much it birthed gratitude for God's grace in my life. And that's what coming into the light does. That's what coming into holiness does. It not only makes us whole, but it pushes us to depend on God's grace as we recognize our own weaknesses to depend on His strength. In closing today, I want to read to you a section from the Bible study that I wrote called You Belong to the Bridegroom. Ready? His proposal was her rescue. She was beautiful on the outside, and those that looked at her outward appearance naturally assumed that her life was all together. Many envied her. She seemed to carry success so easily, but Jesus saw her heart, and He knew she was dying on the inside. Her fragile heart was breaking under the incredible weight of a cloak she wore. It hung heavy on her because it was a garment of shame, reflecting the gray thought life that echoed endlessly in the hollow chambers of her heart. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Haunted by her inadequacies and her past mistakes, she faced each day bearing the weight of the cloak. A forced smile masqueraded her feelings, but like a stubborn shadow, her shame was ever present. She tried religion, but it offered no relief from the pain. The rules of religion only brought more condemnation because she couldn't measure up, and so she sank deeper into despair. One morning, the bridegroom came to break the silent shame in her life and to bring her good news. He called this good news the gospel. I have a proposal for you. Shame is not the garment I'm asking you to wear. Give me your shame and take my hand by faith and rest under the cover of my righteousness. I want to cover you with a garment of salvation. Repent and believe the good news. She was stunned. There before her was a new garment of such beauty. As she gazed at the beautifully built tapestry, it seemed to dance with the splendor of a new glory. Just seeing it began reviving something in her soul. She reached toward the cloak, but then suddenly pulled back. Feelings of inadequacy told her she could not receive the gracious gift. She wrestled with words resounding in her mind. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Jesus knew her thoughts, as He always had. Walking beside her for a lifetime, He had seen every mistake that she had made and loved her all the same. Others had hurt her. She shouldered unnecessary shame by assuming their cruelty was somehow her fault. He had watched as she had attempted to rescue herself with her success and titles, with her hard work and determination, but they were never good enough. All the numbing escapes she ran to could only bring temporary relief. He longed to give her true and lasting rest. He came to rescue her with a divine exchange. Jesus' heart beat with compassion for her, and a wide smile brimmed his face. You don't have to be good enough. In fact, you could never be good enough. I didn't say you had to be perfect. I said repent and believe the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. He held out the new garment, a robe loomed from his perfection and sacrifice, and asked her to give him her robe of shame. Blinking back her tears of unbelief, she was weary from trying to do life on her own. Whosoever believes. She let him take her shame and reached out for his righteousness. Covering herself with his righteousness, she knew he was forgiven, not because of anything she had done, but because of the price her bridegroom had paid on the cross. He made her new as she took his hand by faith and accepted his proposal. Now when God looked at her, all he saw was Jesus' robe of righteousness. She wore his garment daily, and she never felt more beautiful. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adores herself with jewels. Today is your day of freedom. As codependency, one of the things that we've done is that we continue to go back to that self-righteousness. Today is your day of freedom. Release your self-righteousness and rest under God's cover. And it is in that place of freedom, underneath the rest of his covering, that you can relax and rest and relieve self-righteousness to surrender to his will for your life to become all God has created you to be.